Welcome to another inspirational podcast at Real Life Church. For more great content and updates, visit reallifechurchkc.com.
This next song to you guys. It's called A Thousand Names, and I first heard this song about 6 months ago, and it has just been an anthem for my soul. It really takes me back to the heart of worship and simply responding to who God is. When there's nothing you can say, just tell him who he is. God, you're big. You are the rock of ages. You are the great I am. So don't hold back to it. Don't be intimidated. Simply tell him who he is this morning as we worship together. To
Am I alive in here? Come on. Man, let's give up to Jesus one more time. Come on. I don't know what name you call Jesus today, but I hope you leave here calling him Savior and friend. And I'm excited for what God's going to do. Today's going to be a very special day. If I haven't met you, my name's Sean, just one of the many people who get to serve here at Real Life. But today's especially, we get to baptize, you figured that out already. We get to celebrate our fifth birthday. We got some more worship and some fun stuff on the stage, a little Q&A, and just sharing our vision, our heart. But I want to just explain what baptism is real quick. And you guys can be seated as I do that. But baptism is a picture of what Jesus has done for us already. And really that we were dead in sin and made alive to God. And so each of these people getting baptized, I don't know if you believe this or not, but we have 18 people getting baptized today. Come on, give it up for those people, what God's doing. Incredible. So we got 9 people in this gathering, 9 the next, and God just on the move. This will be about 30 people baptized this year in our church. And it's exciting to see, because baptism really is this first step of obedience. What I love about this, it's not just, hey, I know Jesus, but I'm going to follow Jesus. And I'm going public with my faith. And it's really just saying to all of you and to the world, and I'm surrendered to Jesus, and I love Jesus, I want to live for Jesus. And God asks us to get baptized. And this is a picture of a lifelong obedience journey just to follow God. And so I'm really, really excited for each of you guys to get baptized today and what God has done in your life. And your willingness to say, I'm going to follow you into a pool of water to get dunked in front of a bunch of random people and family and friends in the world. And but that's just what Jesus was smart, because he knows, like, hey, humble yourself in front of him and start a journey, not just a Savior, but Lord and Savior. And so I'm excited for today and what God is going to do. And so we're going to baptize, I'm going to pray, and it's going to be a lot of fun. You're going to hear their stories. I will ask this. Every time somebody comes out of the water, I want you to cheer like the Chiefs won the Super Bowl. Come on, somebody. All right? I was at the Chiefs game this week, and I promise you, my throat, if it feels like I don't have a voice, because I was screaming, and my ears literally still hurt from the game. Okay? And so there'll be a lot of times out to cheer today, but I don't think there's any better time that you should be cheering than for each of these people. So can we practice? Can we get up for those getting baptized today? Come on. We know you love them. Come on. Well, let's pray. We're going to start. Father, come before you. God, thank you for what you've done. God, that you have made a way. You've set us free from the power of sin, and you've saved us by your grace and put us in your power. And so, God, thank you for dying on the cross and giving your best, all of you, spilling every ounce of your blood. God, the perfect, final, permanent sacrifice for our sins on that cross. And you paid a way. You made a way for us. Each is getting baptized today, God. We know this isn't salvation, but it's a picture of what you've done. And so, God, we're just going to celebrate you today. Just say your grace is so deep and so merciful. And maybe somebody walked in today and doesn't know that grace. And I pray for that person that maybe came in, sit in the back, or a family or friend, and is just wondering what is this about and what's the purpose. And they would see you today, God. I pray people experience your presence. God, we thank you for 5 years at Real Life, and it's all because of you, God. And so we give you the glory and praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Well, as they are lining up here, I get the privilege of sharing the stories that they shared with us about why they want to get baptized, their Jesus story a little bit, and then who has made an impact in that. So first up, we have Tim Phelps. And man, I'm excited about this guy. Tim said, why do you want to get baptized? He says, I was really young when I was baptized and never understood the reason. But now I believe there's a reason for the cleansing of the Lord in my life. God has taken my sins away, and I want him to bless me in a beautiful journey with God and with Jesus. For him, spread his word, share the gospel with others. He said, I went through a divorce from an amazing woman, lost my best friend. I was afraid to lose everything. I gave up on life and attempted suicide. Went out to California and found help in a mental health facility, met some great people there, and I came back and had to face reality, fell further in depression, and thought I was never going to find peace again. A great man from work, who's joining him here in the baptistry today, prayed for me, prayed over me, and invited me here to Real Life Church. I felt at home, I felt loved, I started a new beginning, and I gave in to that feeling, and I have been hooked ever since. I thank God that he worked through Dan to bring me closer to Jesus and to a new home here in my faith at Real Life. And this is his son Dalton joining him today, which is so cool. He said, God showed me what my life could look like when I follow him, that I can do better, and it's not worth giving up everything that he's been doing in my life. And so when I heard my dad, Tim, was getting baptized, I wanted to join him on this journey and commit myself to Christ as an adult to live my life with God with my dad by my side. It's so cool to see families walking through this journey together of faith. Dalton says, my life was great at a young age, but in my early teens, I had depression, anxiety. I was really addicted to drugs and alcohol at the early age of 13, and I was lost. I went away to live with family, and through a program called Celebrate Recovery, I came to God. I joined ROTC, I got my life together, I reached my goal of getting into the Navy, but was shortly after that medically discharged, and I didn't know what to do with myself. I had lost everything I worked for, went back into drugs and alcohol really bad, but right before my 21st birthday, God sent me my son, Rowan, and it got me back on track to get my life together, to get back with God. It brought my parents back into my life, I became sober, and I don't know where I'd be today without God. My life's a work in progress, but with the support of people I have, I am unstoppable. I'm thankful for everything God and my dad have done for me throughout his life. And I really want to thank my dad, Tim Phelps. He's not perfect, but he's never given up on me. God gave me my father, knowing that nobody else could have handled my stubborn self the way he did. And so we are going to have watch Tim and Dalton get baptized together today.
Impact on my walk with Christ. He has helped me learn to follow.
situations, bad work environment. He's given me so much and so many things. And just really my life is so blessed because of him, my work and my friends and my life. And she shares he also picked out the perfect home for me next door to my best friends, the Bakers, who brought me to church to help me to really start to make my faith my own. And somebody special in that walk is joining her there today, Kristen Baker. She has been inviting me to church every week and finally came to make this my church home and make my faith my own. Faithful to what he promises. So I'd like to invite you to stand one more time with us as we continue. continue in worship.
What you say, though the storms may come. God's promises were true yesterday, they're true today, and they're true forever. He is for us. And if you believe that this morning, I know you're going to just lift up another shout of praise today. Come on, Real Life. Man, happy 5th birthday. Who's ready to continue the celebration? Man, oh man, I don't know if we can top this, but we're sure gonna try. Hey, welcome to Real Life Church. We are honored to have you today, and I want to give a huge shout out, a huge welcome to a very special group of people called Real Life Church Online. And I'm wondering if this week we can say in our loudest voice, happy birthday online. Let's try it. 1, 2, 3. Man, we are honored to have you. So online, if you're streaming live, I hope you will interact in the chat today. Throw up those likes and those hearts and hang out with us. But hey, I am super pumped for everybody in the room today. This is going to be a great Sunday. So welcome to Real Life Church. I want you to find someone around you. I want you to wave, smile, give a handshake, do something, and then have a seat. Go on now. Man, while they are doing the greeting, I just want to give a heartfelt welcome to anyone online or in person who is brand new with us today. And we've already seen some amazing stories and heard some amazing stories, and we believe your story has significance. And if this is your first time with us in person or online, I hope that you just feel so incredibly welcome, because you are. And I want to give you a couple steps that you can take. If you're brand new with us online, I want you to click the link you're seeing right now. If you're brand new with us today, right here in the room, I invite you to get your phone out, and you can text RL New to 97,000. And when you do that, a member of our welcome team, our follow-up team, I should say, will reach out to you completely digitally, and we just want to hear your story. And we want to answer any questions that you might have about Real Life Church. And we want to see how can we be praying for you this week. If you're brand new with us in the house today, if you've never been by our New Here booth, we would love to greet you this morning, put a name to a face, and we do have a small gift for you, our way of saying thank you so much for being here. If this was your first Sunday, or maybe it's 2, 3, or 4 somewhere in there, I just want to encourage you. You have a place here at Real Life Church. I just want to extend the invitation to plan out your next 3 Sundays. You got the phone out maybe already. Get your calendar app open and go ahead and pencil in for 9:30 these next 3 Sundays. See what God has for you. See what connections you make. See what the next chapter in your story is. You are so invited and welcome to come hang out with us. Well, guys, a little bit more about who we are at Real Life Church. We're a church on a mission, and that mission is to see people far from God discover their real life and purpose in Jesus. That's why we celebrate so huge, because this is that public display of that mission, the success of that mission. And guys, you play a huge part in that when you join the mission of Dream Team of Real Life Church by joining the Dream Team. Sorry, passionate, not really. But hey, you're going to hear some practical steps of how you can be on mission with us later in the gathering. So if you don't feel like you're currently on mission here or really plugged into a church anywhere, my request is that you just really meditate on that today, and more importantly, that you pray on that today and see where God leads you on that next step of your journey. We'd love to have you. Guys, this is what it's all about. This was the shot in the arm that we all needed, that we've all been waiting for. It's been 5 awesome years at Real Life Church, and we have so many people that have played so many parts in the story of our church and in the life change we saw this morning and are here in the room. Cool, see you in a little bit. dude, that's awesome. But what's so cool is just today we're really going to lean into where we came from, where we currently are, but even more exciting, where are we going next? Because if nothing else, these last few weeks, we've been just impassioned about not settling for the status quo as a church. And here, just to keep this momentum going, I'd like to welcome to the stage Diane Petrie. Will you make her feel welcome this morning? Come on.
So what is a church? Is it a building? Is it a monument? Is it a man-made construct or a house for religion? Is it a social club or a moral duty, a production to entertain the masses? Is it a place for political beliefs on display or good deeds to be numbered? Is it a place to feel good, to look good, or to be good enough? Is it a museum to gaze upon the faith of saints gone by? No, 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 no. What is the church? It's ecclesia, a called out assembly. It's not restricted by geographical or denominational boundaries. It's expressed in local bodies, salt and light to the people to whom they've been called. It's God's holy nation, his royal priesthood, a house that he's building with us as living stones in Christ, his chief cornerstone. It's a universal body of all true believers of God, one united by one spirit, one baptism, one faith, with Jesus as the head. It's God's chosen vessel to reach a lost and dying world. It's made to honor God, united in spirit, bound together in peace, speaking the truth in love. It's admonishing one another in love and service, growing each day to look more and more like Christ. It's never-ending meeting together because the return of the bridegroom is imminent. It's not a checkbox of Christian duty, and it's not intended to be part of the status quo. It's not a chore to be endured, but it is a journey to be enjoyed. It's not a sacrifice, but a great privilege to be a part of serving God Almighty. And it was God's idea from the start. It's the life-giving, soul-shaping, devil-kicking bride of Christ. And believe you me, you can tell how much you love Christ by how you love his church. It's a hospital for the sick, not a monument for the saints. It's a rescue mission within the yard of hell, waving the banner of Jesus high, proclaiming that victory is found in our Lord. It's built on the rock, and the gates of hell won't prevail against it. It's an upper room community who isn't afraid of a little fire. It's apostles, prophets, evangelists, and teachers how to fan a flame and stir up a gift. It's intercessors going to war without ceasing, and it's worshipers going to battle as warriors with surrendered hearts and open hands, declaring that victory belongs to our God. Friends, we are the church, accomplishing acts of spirit power only explained by God's presence, only caring for each person like they are the only person, experiencing worship that moves hearts and inspires lives, exposing the God-given talents and gifts and abilities given to us, making disciples through life groups, mentoring and leadership development, developing leaders for the mission of the kingdom, driven by grace with a vision so big that it seems impossible, yet so unified around our mission that it generously sacrifices to reach into our city, making a difference. Reaching out to our city, our country, our world, planting people and churches to reach the lost, fulfilling the great commission of God. And let me tell you today, real life, we are the church. Discover life and purpose in Jesus. And this is the story that we're telling.
When the world closed their doors, real life opened theirs. There was a special lady who, I hate to say this, but she knows it. She just kept getting under my skin. She was our parents' teachers. And every single week she saw I was broken, and that is Christy Hardy, and I am so grateful for her. Our second week we came to Real Life, they had a crash course announcement, and Pastor Sean told us about it, and he actually personally called us and gave us an invite, and I said, sure, fine, we'll go. And when we got there, they told us about the shapes test, and not gonna lie, when you hear the word test, don't we all get a little nervous, right? So I was like, So I said, fine, I will take it, just so then everyone will be happy. And after we all took it, there was 13 of us that day. And he got all the results back and said, oh my goodness, I have never seen this before. And we were like, what? And he said, I had someone get 100% on a gift. And I said, well, thinking in my head, that's really interesting. That's cool. And he said, Rochelle, that's you. And the first thing I did was try to sink as far as I could down into his couch, because I don't like to be the center of attention, like right now. And he said, you got 100% on evangelism. Okay. And my next two was teaching and shepherding, so joke on me. But in that moment, I realized something that no church had ever done for me before. They had never allowed me to experience that, to be called out in that way, in a humbling way. And I had always been told, maybe not spoken, but in my heart, that I was to grow the kingdom of God for them and not with them. And now we have been members of Real Life Church for almost 2 years, which is crazy to think. And I will tell you, when I was asked to step up, there were fights in my heart. And I am so grateful for Sean, Diane, Rose, Holly, Brian, and Drew. And one of the reasons why is Sean made me get up and share my story. Holly asked me numerous times to look at becoming a life group leader. I turned her down quite a few times. Diane, having me step beside her and say, hey, help me lead these mission outreaches here. Rose, leading life group together. Brian, asking me to step up and to lead the Next Step team. I'll tell you, for 4 months, I told him no. I gave every single excuse. I finally said yes, and I walked through it with Drew. And I can say that I have learned so much more about myself, but not only that, what it looks like to be a leader. And Real Life Church is not just a church. It's a place to discover your spiritual gifts that God has given you. They truly want to see you discover who God has made you to be. Thank you, Real Life Church, for being that place and allowing me to discover my spiritual gifts and to grow me.
I want to tell you about a journey that God has taken me on, a journey I never expected. You see, I left church, a church that I loved and had gone to for over 20 years. I left it because it fell away from the gospel. And when I left it, the fighting that was going on amongst church people so pierced my heart, it caused me to put a shield around myself. I wanted nothing to do with an organized church or its people. I made a vow to myself, it would be me, God, my husband, my Bible, and a strong exhaustive concordance to help me with Bible studies. And that was going to be it. There was never going to be another organized church in my life. And then God started to take me on a journey in 2015. We were looking for a home in Belton, and we had looked for 2 years and hadn't found one. And in 2015, I finally noticed this home, which we had passed over for a number of reasons, and decided to take a look inside. And when I went in, it was an older home. It reminded me of my grandparents' home, where there was love and family. And I thought, yeah, it needs a little work, but it's doable. And I convinced my husband to see it and convinced him that's where we wanted to buy our home, and we did. Well, the rest of the story is that home turned out to be only 2 blocks from my son's home. It wasn't intentional, it just happened. Or was it? Was God leading us? I think so. The rest of my story is, in 2017, my son came to me and said, "We're going to be joining a church, I think," he said. "We're checking out a new one that's going up in the Belton area." I said, "Really?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "Well, you know church isn't for me, but I encourage you and your family to go right ahead because I think it'd be good for the girls." And so they did. And time went on. We visited often, being only 2 blocks apart. And I was beginning to hear about Real Life Church. I heard about the youth groups the girls were in. I heard about the AVL team my son was on, doing videos and various other projects. And I heard about life groups. I actually was learning about Real Life Church by osmosis, whether I wanted to or not. And then something else happened. A couple years later, I think it was in 2020, the COVID lockdowns happened. And my son was one of the hosts for the home churches during that time. As Pastor Sean said, the school can shut down, but God's church isn't going to. So the organized host homes held the gatherings each Sunday as Pastor Sean gave his sermon over the television set through YouTube, and we were able to watch it. My son had asked me to come, and of course, I was happy to go to that. That was a home church. I understood that. I didn't have to deal with a whole bunch of people in a gathering at church. I met Pastor Sean and his wife there. And from that moment on, I knew this was a man of God called to do this work. Yet I thought when they went back to the school that I'd have joined the church, wouldn't you? No. No, this hard heart still wasn't ready to join any church. But I watched Real Life on television. I watched the series each Sunday. And then July 2021 came along, and my grandchildren asked me to come to the movies. Real Life Church has a movie series, and I was invited. Well, it's hard to say no to your grandchildren, so to appease them, I went. And I saw people in the parking lot waving and smiling, and got to the door with these beautiful women holding the door open, greeting us, welcoming us. And then I got into the hub, and there were more people greeting and welcoming, and they wanted to know my story, and were surprised that I was Ryan's mother, because they knew who Ryan was. And from there, I decided to return to the movies every week, and by the time the movies were over, I knew in my heart I wanted to be a part of this welcoming church. And so I jumped into the next steps class. I volunteered. I said, "Put me where you can use me." Although I have a very strong hospitality background, Pastor Sean decided, "Okay, let's go to the hospitality team and be a front door greeter." I was happy to do so. As time went on, I was asked if I would step up and become a leader and a trainer and a coach. And all of that happened. But that journey was because God was guiding me. He was leading me. That journey happened because He softened my heart and I surrendered to His will. And I'm saying to each one of you, it's never too late. You're never too old. You're never too old to learn. You're never too old to grow. You're never too old to participate. And I welcome you all today. I want to just say, with God, all things are possible.
Real Life Church, what does that mean? What is a church? I loved the spoken word that Diane went through, because so many of us come in here with so many expectations of what church is because of where we've been and what we've seen. In a crew this size and online, your experience of church has probably been even more varied than mine. You've been in some good churches probably, and maybe you've been in some bad churches, and you walk in here with one or the other, and you came in here like, all right, this is going to be something cool. Or maybe you walked in the door and you had the attitude, I hate church, because the last time I was at church, I got burned. Real Life is a church that has been launched in the vision of experiencing God's presence, because any human organization that gets away from God brings in so many impure motivations, whether it's money or greed or whatever it is, or power. But Real Life was launched on a different premise, and we call ourselves a Jesus church. And in fact, no matter if you love church or you hate church, our doors are open for you guys, because we believe that you can belong way before you believe. And that's really what the heart and the vision of Real Life is. And so I hope that you guys experience that today. And the interesting thing about a church is this: it doesn't happen by accident. And it happens because God puts a vision and a love for God's people in leaders' hearts. And I want to introduce you guys to leaders that you guys have already heard from some today. And I'm going to invite them up here, Sean and Diane. Can you guys give them a huge round of applause? Before I give them the mic, I've had the privilege of knowing these guys for almost 20, I think, man, it's 20 years. Can you believe that? I know. I knew them from when they were rowdy, browdy, whatever it is, high school kids. Saw them get married, saw them form a family, saw that God just continue to put leaders or mantles of leadership in their lives. And I've seen God expand their reach and their vision for what God's doing. And God put it in their heart, and we're going to go through that in a little bit more, to establish a church called Real Life. And so I'm going to turn it over to those guys real quick, and then we'll be doing a Q&A.
Hey, can I just say that all the stories, like Barry and Judy and Rochelle and everybody baptized today, is just one of thousands and thousands of stories that God has used through Real Life. Can we just give Jesus a hand for what he's doing? Come on. So encouraging. Yeah, we launched a church just saying yes to Jesus. We're nobody really special, but God used our life, right? And we just said we're available. And I feel like this moment, this should be champagne or something right now, Barry. Just saying. Be careful what you wish for, right? People bust them out. Oh, man. But I'm just excited to see what God's going to do in the future of our church. And it really takes all you guys playing a part of the story of what God's doing and just being available to say yes to Jesus. And I want to say thank you to our dream team, those of you who serve on the team, set this up, tear this down, and minister to people, love on people. We are just one of the people who serve on the dream team. And so can we give it up for our dream team for just leading the way? I want to say thank you. There's some people behind the scenes that do all the fun stuff. So I want to say thank you to our board, to our overseers, and really to all you guys who call Real Life home. And this is a place for you to come and be a part of experiencing God's presence. And our prayer is when people walk in here, they experience God's presence, that they see him and know him. And they don't remember us, but they remember Jesus. And so we're excited to see what God's going to do in the future. And we're going to turn back to Barry, and we're going to dive into some vision. So,
well, you guys can go ahead and be seated. You guys are already down. With our last little bit of time, I really want to dive into really the genesis of what Real Life Church was, and then, you know, the vision of what God's really calling us to do. As you celebrate a birthday, I'm getting old. You see all this gray in my hair, and as you get older,
what's left of it?
Yeah, what's left of it? I don't know how much left. But as you have these moments, the milestones, you step back and you're like, man, look what God did. And that's what we're going to do here a little bit. But you're also looking forward to what's moving. You know, what's God going to do in the future? And, you know, that's the exciting part. So can you guys just real briefly share with us and share with people that maybe have never heard the story, you know, why Real Life? You know, where did that come from?
Yeah, the passion for this church started a very, very long time ago. There's a vision. It's a God-given vision that really put in our hearts. And I was just awakened to this again. I was reading a book, and it's called Making Vision Stick. And I read it back in 2008. This is my first year as a youth pastor, jumping in and figuring things out. And I wrote a vision statement. And the vision statement was to create a welcoming environment where unchurched teens can come to know Jesus. And I thought, that sounds a little familiar, doesn't it? And that passion, that heart to see God move in people has never changed. And I think your vision is birthed in tears. And, you know, I never forgot what it's like
to be lost. Like, I didn't come to Jesus until I was in high school. And I never forgot that feeling of not knowing the purpose. And I grew up in a good family, but we didn't know God. And for me, like, I never got past that, that there's people who need Jesus. And so that's always been my heart. It's what we do this for, you know, grow disciples so they can reach other people that make disciples. And so for us, like, that passion is birthed. Really, I wrote it down in the vision statement 9 years before we launched the church. And so it's been just marinating for a decade inside of our hearts. And so that's where that passion comes from. There's a lot more of the story, but that's just the beginning of what God's doing. You never know where he's going to take you when you have a burden on your heart, you know, and the vision birthed really in tears. So it's pretty cool.
You want to add anything to that, Diane? No?
I did it all, baby. I just said it all.
I'll tell you guys the rest of the story later. Diane has about a 95% part of this. God uses teams, and God blessed you guys. One of the other things, you know, as you go through and look back at the last 5 years, can you name something, like, what would be one of the most significant things you've seen God do here, or you've seen blessings, or, you know, what jumps out to you guys?
Yeah, I can say it's kind of these, like, moments that feel a little more surreal of, like, putting down that landmarker of seeing God start something that's just an idea or a dream or a vision, and then, you know, 15 years down the road, seeing that come to fruition, seeing God take something small and a small dream and a vision and making that a reality, it's really powerful. And you don't always get to see those reminders every day when you're, like, in the trenches doing ministry, caring for people. You know, you're doing the hard work, you know. Ministry is funny because in the same day you can have, like, a super serious low of low, and then 1 minute later have the highest of high of seeing somebody get baptized. And it's always this tension, but just being willing to say yes. I think that the most significant thing is just seeing how many people on our team and that come so faithfully and give. So many people have been a part of this even years before it today. And it's powerful to see all of those things culminate in just little bits of faithfulness all along the way of what God can do with that.
Yeah, I think for highlight moment, you know, as a pastor, it's really cool because you get to sit on the front row seat, like, literally, and see God work. And so even this week, I get to talk to a man that's going through stuff and repentant and seeing God move in his life. And it's like, man. But you don't see that. But I see that because I'm right in the trench, like, right close to him. And so you see the highs and the lows, like Diane talked about. You see people's worst, but you see opportunities for God to move. And you see God's best. And so for me, the highlight is what you see today, these people getting baptized. When people come to Christ, that never has changed for me. That's the highlight moment. You know, Jesus asked that question to these Pharisees and these religious leaders that you're dining with, you're eating with these sinners. And he said, well, how many of you, if you lost a sheep out of 100, would go find the one? And you'd go find it, bring it back to your friends and your family, and you'd gather them up and rejoice. And he said, how much more rejoicing is there in heaven over one sinner who repents than 99 who need no repentance? And so I feel like if they're going to shout in heaven, we're going to shout it here at Real Life. Amen?
Amen.
That's just what we're going to do. So that's the mission. And so we grow deep people so you can go out and be wide with the gospel. But the reality is seeing souls change and souls come to Christ, I mean, that's every Sunday. You see that in life groups. You see it after services. People raise their hand after the gatherings. And you see people's life change. And so that never gets old. And you can never get past the gospel.
I like that. And so many of the stories that I hear time and time again, they're like, that one time I was at Real Life, this happened or that happened. And so everything that happens in people's spiritual lives really is sometimes, or a lot of times, just around the formation of what happens here on a Sunday. Here's one of the things that I hear all the time is people walk in the doors and they see everything that we've got set up and they're like, this isn't like church I've ever seen before. You guys really do this every week? Or then they hang out with some people. They're like, I've never had so many people say hi to me. And it's just a different feeling that they've experienced. Now, here's the reality. And Judy said this, you know, and this happens in negative ways and positive ways. Churches change over time. So in the next 5 years, if you could pick one thing for Real Life to hang on to and to keep, what would it be?
I'd like to say the people. But I will say that nobody is the people. Like, it's not our people. Like, you're not my sheep, you're God's, you know? And so I we're called to send you guys out. Some of you more than others, come on. just love you all. But honestly, I mean, obviously you love the people, but you want God to use your life. But more importantly, I think we'd hang on to the culture. Like, the culture of Real Life is something special. And I didn't really realize how special this culture is. I mean, it's just something that's right in front of my face every day. But for most people, they don't experience church like this. And to have God's presence, like, just to get out of the way, like, I don't try to preach down on people. I preach to God's best, but we say hard things. Like, we want to present God in his grace and who he is. But to see God move in people's lives every single week where the presence of God is here, like that would be the thing I would keep more than any other thing, that people come in, they feel loved. People belong before they even believe because people are caring for them. So many of these stories, whether it's Judy or Rochelle or Brandon, all these, there's so many people, it's like, man, they're so welcoming. And I think if anything, the church should be the place where people come in and go, man, these people love me, and I'm the biggest sinner in the world. I don't know why they love me at all, you know? And some of you guys can raise your hand and say, that's me, you know? And so that to me is the culture of our church, and that's one piece of it, but I'd be fighting for that, yep. You know?
Yeah, I think something I love to hang on to, I've been inspired by, is this idea of that we're pioneering something. Yeah. Like, it takes a lot of work to get this from an idea in our hearts to this. You know, it takes an incredible team and resources and all these things. But we always say, like, we're looking for pioneers and not settlers. Because it's really easy to get to this moment and be like, okay, we're a church. We did it, you know. But you start to think of that in terms, like Sean said, of, like, the lost across our city, across our world. Like, you know, to me, this is, like, great. We got her going. Like, we are just starting. Like, we are looking for people who want to dig their heels in and to, like, push forward and plow towards that mission of reaching people. And so it took that pioneering spirit to get a church started from the ground up. But, man, it is going to take all hands on deck digging in to really push that forward to continue to reach our city and the world with the gospel.
And that really kind of leads into my next question, because it's so easy just to get settled and comfortable. Comfortable is a bad word. We're in the middle of a series called Status Quo, and we're breaking that. So here's my question for you guys. God put a vision in your guys' heart because you guys saw a need. And for the past 5 years, I've seen God answer that faithfully week in and week out, year in and year out. What are you guys asking God for a vision for the next 5 years? What are you expecting from God? What are you guys looking for?
Yeah, for me, it's our vision statement that condensed, like, we want to see, you know, revival move our city. We want to see hope restore our community, like through our Hope Center. We're going to continue this mission of reaching people until everybody knows that they have life in Jesus, that they have a purpose given by God. And so I think it's so cool to see how God gave us that vision to move forward. But man, that has been like ignited more so than like, oh, kind of changes or whatever. Like, dig into those like big key things of us moving forward. Like, that's where we're going, is to reach people and to bring hope to our city.
Yeah, that passion is greater than ever, and that vision is bigger than ever. You know, I think in Nehemiah, he sees these walls and he just starts crying, and that's the beginning of his vision. And for us, the thing that was always broken in our heart is our city. Like, our community, you know, 100,000 people. Like, we're scratching the surface of what God can do and will do in this city. And I just believe, like, we ask God for the souls. You know, give me this county. Give me this city. That's what we beg God for. And that's for us, like, to see those people change. There's theology of church growth, you know. Does God want a church to grow? Because you hear a lot, like, I love the size. You know, it's like the perfect size church, you know. Da, da, da. It's like, hey, we're trying to make disciples that go out, you know. We're not a church for people to sit. I love you all that sit. But we're a church that's on mission and brings people and witnesses and lives a life of transformation. But we want to make a difference. Like, we want to move the needle. Like, we want to, if we didn't exist, we want people to go, holy smokes, our city is destined for failure because this church was a pillar. Like, we don't like, oh, what church? So for us, like, that's what we beg God for, souls. And so we'd love to see, really, we'd love to see 1,000 people baptized in the next 5 years. We've baptized, this will be 30 people this year. So if you think about it, it's like a person a week almost, right? Like, of what God is doing. But we want to just extend that, like, using people's gifts and abilities of God, being available, and just living on mission and to multiply what God's doing. And so for us, that's one piece of it. I mean, obviously for us, like, hey, we're not going to stay in the school forever. Amen? Come on. We do love the Belden School District. They do a phenomenal job and never had any issues at all. But for us, like, we're praying for God to give us a building. And I'm praying for a 20,000 square foot building. Come on, somebody. Off 49, you know, and 58. Come on. I want it painted red and gray already, right? I want at least 100 parking spots, you know. So I'm praying for that. And, you know, every time you get a building, it's a God thing, you know. It is expensive. And but God has a way, you know. And for us, we're not idolizing the building. Like, we're not a church because we have a building, you know. We're not like, oh, we're not a church until we get there. No, that's not at all. And so I don't complain. I love set up, tearing down. I mean, it doesn't bother me. But reality is, that's what we're asking God to do in this next season as well. And then our Hope Center, it is weeks away. I know Barry, he jumped the gun on that one early on. But, he said it was weeks away, and I thought, I don't think I have enough hours in the day to do what
you
Barry
got
just asked.
I got faith. God's grown my faith.
But yeah. But we want that Hope Center to be really the place of hope in our city. And so that's what we love seeing in these next 5 years. We'd love to have multiple Hope Centers and to be able to really make a difference in the community and serve. And so that's a little bit on that, like the big picture of really where we're going. So,
well, last thing, since I'm asking for God to increase our faith, it was funny. One of our overseers called us, "You guys are a blue collar church. You guys get stuff done." And I love the vision for the long goal because it's what drives us for what we're doing. What are some check boxes? There's guys out there. What do we do today? What has God given us an opportunity to step into? What is something that you guys see that's near term, something that is we can move those stones and check that boxes to get to that long-term goal? What has God put on your heart that is walking out the door today or tomorrow that we can do?
Yeah, our team kind of functions around these ideas, so maybe talk about your team a little bit and I'll...
Yeah, so all of our teams and our coordinators who lead them have little goals. You know, Sean challenged us at the beginning of the year, what would it look like to have 7 real-life campuses across our city? What would your team need to do? I see Holly's eyes are still wide from that conversation in January of, like, sweating maybe a little bit.
It's a gift of disorientation.
But helps you to see, how can I grow a healthy team that can do all that without me there and thinking through it? And so for the teams I lead specifically, man, we're excited to lean in and get some live worship into some of our youth and kids spaces. We're hoping to expand and grow our team so that we have the capability to week in and week out be able to provide and grow youth and kids worship in those spaces, to grow our capacity to continue to do our reach on social media and find more creative ways to reach out in the community of people who may not step in these doors right away. We know that's not most people's first step. So we're looking for a ton of people to help that end. For our missions and local outreach, the Hope Center is a huge part of that, and excited to see how God is continuing to weave and move people into the right places to be able to reach some of those goals of counseling and all of the things that that space can allow us to do to reach people. And then always saying yes. You know, I got reached out to the other week by the Ray Peck School Foundation to say, hey, can you help us with this Adopt-A-School program? And our heart is to always say yes. You know, when someone calls and reaches out from our community, especially our schools, like those organizations that are making a difference, we want to always say yes. And so it's just building on that steady ability to do so.
Yeah, those healthy things. Yeah, the Hope Center is really what's next on the horizon. Getting our youth over there, they'll be excited to destroy everything we built. Come on, somebody. The name of Jesus, you know. But it'd be great. And then our worship team over there, and really just using that place, a place of care for our city. And so we're growing some leaders behind the scenes through our life group system to be care group leaders. And so there'll be a lot of people through that program to really help restoration stuff, not just immediate relief, handing somebody some money, but some soul development for people in our city to go deeper, whether it's like a divorce situation, or maybe they're a single mom, or maybe it's an addiction program they're coming out of. So there's so many things that we have a vision for on that. And of course, doing counseling there is going to be huge for us. And so that Hope Center is going to be really a pillar for us. So that's going to come really in the next month or so. You're going to have all these things start to inundate in there. We'll have our CEO in a few weeks. But so that's going to be really exciting. I know you guys are upset about this. I talked to our hospitality team the other day. I said, hey, are we still good for what you got planned? And yeah. I said, okay, well, I'm going to throw it out there. It's the first time I'm going to say it. And so now we're saying it. It's going to happen. So you guys are going to like this. But we got our freshman team that's going to get built in January, which means there's this little thing called coffee coming back. Come on, somebody. Hey, I'm so glad that clap was not louder than the baptism clap. Because I was thinking about that earlier. I was like, you clap better for coffee than for Jesus. I'm going to have to start preaching right now. So, but refreshments team's doing that. We're doing a kids store to help really celebrate those kids and their faithfulness to bringing friends and writing verses and following God. And just helping write a legacy. One of the things that's on my heart is really talking to people that have the gift of generosity, whether it's a teenager or a business leader, whoever, and saying, hey, here's the vision for getting these spaces very clearly, for spaces and places, for global missions. We want to have a robust program of church residency, not just for national, but international. That's coming, you know, and that's on the heart, and that's a vision. And so just creating a group of people that say, hey, I'm going to set the pace. You know, making that really clear for them, like exactly where we're going. So that's really the next season for us, you know, just available, praying for God to use our church. You know, anybody, I say anybody, just willing could do even more than we're doing. And so I'm just excited to see what God's going to do in the next few years.
That's cool. I appreciate you guys sharing your heart. I appreciate you guys sharing your vision and your leadership. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to invite Sean and Diane to pray. The origins of Real Life started with a prayer. And we believe that we bring in God's presence, not on what we do or how much we give or how much we bleed, but really just based on our needs. because we pray for God to show up, and we pray for God to give us a vision of what he wants us to do. And so would you guys take this time just to give us a prayer of thanksgiving, commissioning, and just give us what's on your guys' hearts.
God, we come before you today with just open hands, open hearts. God, we're surrendered to whatever it is you call us to do. Each one of us as an individual and corporately as a body who seek to follow you, God, we want to be a place of hope and of light in our community. And ultimately, we want to see our city changed. We want to see revival happen. We want to see it start here. We want to see it start in our hearts today, God, a fire of passion lit so that everybody, all people, can come to know you. That's your heart, God. And so we want to echo your heart with that. I just am so grateful and give so much thanks to those who serve so faithfully on our team alongside of us, God, that each one of us has different roles and gifts and abilities, and you, in just the special way that you do, give a place for each person to have a place to make a big difference for your kingdom, to use gifts, talents, abilities to make your name famous, God. And so I pray that as we move forward from this 5-year mark, God, we would put that stake in the ground, God, that it's for your renown. It's to make your name famous. It's you are the reason why we're here. And so it's you are the reason why we move forward, why we continue to do all that we do that makes real life what it is, what it will be in the future, with your heart and your vision within us, God. We're so grateful and so thankful for what you're doing in us.
God, we're so thankful and just so humbled by what you've done. God, this is all for you. It's all for your glory. God, you've just moved in so many lives in these past 5 years, and we're just eternally thankful for what you've done. And so, God, we just really consecrate, we just dedicate, really commit these next 5 years, God, to you. And I pray that we'd step out in faith, just like we're always called to do, and get on that limb of faith and trust you all the way on the ride of what you have for us. And so, God, I pray for souls. God, I pray for those in the room that are, you know, I can play part of the story. And so I pray for availability. God, we are available. God, our hands are open. Our souls are open. God, if you're going to use anybody, God, I pray use our church, God, to make a difference in our families' lives, in our lives, our kids' lives, and ultimately impact our neighbors and our community. God, call us out, God. Just put something in front of us, God, that only you can do. I pray in 5 years when people look back at our church, they say only God could have done that. And so, God, I pray that your name would be lifted up. God, your banner would be raised high, and that people would be broken free from addictions. God, that marriages would be restored. God, that hearts would be healed up. God, that you give people a boldness and a passion and a zeal for you. And so, God, this is your church. And so you call us where you want us to go. God, you lead us. God, you direct our steps. God, we have no false ambition that we know exactly where the next step is, God, but you're directing every single part of the story. And so, God, use us to make an impact in our city, in our county. God, that the schools be changed, God. I pray for favor among conversations that would multiply the kingdom. God, that we'd see things happen here on earth that only come from heaven. God, I pray for people to come to our church and always know you're here. God, your presence speaks to them, God, and that they would be humbled and repent and turn to you. God, I pray this would be a place of healing and a place of hope and restoration. I pray this would be a sending place. God, we cannot just talk and know you, God, but we'd be sent out among the nations. God, I pray use our church as an arrow into our culture, God, to pierce hearts and lives. And God, I pray just use us, God. We are available. God, we're open. And God, we just are desperate for you. We love you. God, thank you for all you do. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, guys. Can you guys give them a hand? Thank you for sharing your heart, just your passion. I'm going to ask you guys to bow your head one more time. We're going to pray one last time as we conclude today. God, I want to lift up in prayer just a couple groups of people today. Maybe you're here today, you've come into real life for a while now, or maybe this is your first Sunday, and you've heard the vision and the mission of what God's called us to do here, and you want to be a part of that, and you want to be a part of the team, the dream team. You want to be part of allowing God to help you write somebody else's story, and then let God write, you know, part of your story as well here at Real Life, and this is what God's calling you to do. I want to give you that opportunity. Just everybody's eyes are down. Nobody's looking around. If God's calling you to something bigger here at Real Life and just asking you to do something, throw your hand up, and I'd love to pray with you. Just know that you have a heart for what God's wanting for you. God, you see the hands. God, I just want to just thank you for each person here. God, you've given them a heart. They know that there's something that they've called to do. And like Rochelle was talking about, maybe they didn't know they had a gifting. And they're searching for that. God, I pray that you get connected and they get them connected through Next Steps and get a part of the dream team. God, use them, use their passions, use their talents, just in a way to grow people and help them find their purpose in Jesus. I want to pray for one last group. Maybe you walked in today and you're far from God. You're the group that we are here for. Real Life was established to see people far from God discover their real life and purpose. And maybe that's you today. Maybe you've had a long in your heart. Maybe you've got a torn heart. Maybe you've got an empty heart. And there's things that you've tried to fill that with, whether it's relationships or things or addictions, and they've never satisfied. And God's brought you here not on accident, on purpose. And if that's you today and you're looking for something, can I tell you that there's a God that's been searching for you? There's a God that has a purpose for you. There's a God that loves you. And if you're here today and that's you, I want you to know that God is talking to you. It's not me. It's God. He's been looking for you. He's been pursuing you because he's got something great for you. And all the things that we've tried to put in his place, they never fulfill. So if that's you, and you're ready to make that step, and you're ready to let God take your life and use it in the ways that you were created to be, can I tell you that it's not too late? It doesn't matter where you've been, what you've done, and how far you've gone, and how far you've run. He's the Father that is waiting for the lost son to come home. Sean talked about the one that goes out and looks for the lost sheep. Maybe that's you. God is pursuing you, and he's looking for you. So I want to invite you guys, if that's you, to raise your hand. I would love to pray for you as well. Acknowledge that you are looking for God. I'm not going to call you out. God knows your heart. God knows who this is and who this is speaking to. And if that's you, see those hands as well. Pray this prayer, follow me. It's not the prayer that saves you. It's your heart and your attitude of following Jesus that is going to save you. It's God's pursuing you. It's his salvation that he offers you. So if that's you, pray something like this. God, I know that I've done life on my own, and it hasn't panned out the way that I wanted to. And I know that I've gone too far, and I've done things that you wouldn't want me to do. And I've got sin and destruction in my life. God, I want to give those things to you. I want your forgiveness. I want your hope. I want your peace and security that your son Jesus has given me. And I want to give my life to you. I want to redirect my steps and my purpose to match what you've got for me in my life. And I give my heart, I give my life, I give my eternity to you. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Can we give everybody that prayed that prayer today, online or in person, just a huge round of applause? Thanks, guys.
Amen. And, you know, I can't think of a better fifth birthday gift that you guys could give than by everyone who raised their hand and just surrendered their life to Jesus today. Just happy birthday, man. That's the best you could do. We're honored if you made that decision. I just want to give you some next steps, if that's you. I want you to get your phone and text RL Next to 97,000. And when you do that, someone would love to just answer some questions you might have about what happens next. I want to just equip you with some tools and resources and just offer you encouragement on those next steps on your journey. But as you walk out of the worship center today, we have a table in the very back with some red bags. And I just encourage you, take one. It's got a Bible and some resources in there as well, just to help you on this next step. You see, this wasn't the end of your journey. This was the first step in seeing where God's going to take you on these next 5 years. And speaking of that, Sean casts an amazing vision of all the great things that are happening here at Real Life Church, what we see coming ahead. And here's the brutal, honest truth. None of that can happen without people who are faithful, without people who say, God, I love you, and I'm ready to be tagged into the game. I'm ready to just dive in feet first. I've never done anything like this before, but I'm ready to serve, and I'm ready to see where you would have me. And guys, I just got to tell you about next week. You have an amazing opportunity through our crash course. Next Sunday, 2 to 4:30 at Sean and Diane's house, you'll be joined by them and other leaders who want to just walk with you through what your gifts are and show you how you can use those gifts to advance the kingdom, to take back the city, to be the hands and feet of Jesus in our community. And we would just love to tell you more about that. So if you got that calendar app, pencil in next Sunday at the Crash Course. We're talking about building up some hope groups and really serving people through our Hope Center. Like Diane talked about, building out a kids and youth worship team even more to reach the kids, the next generation. I know y'all love some coffee. Come on now, that refreshments team. That doesn't just happen on its own. It happens through people who are committed to serve. So I just pray, I'm going to give you that challenge. Pray about that this week. We would love to see you there. And of course, guys, none of this happens without your generosity. The baptisms today, the celebration, it's all because of people who are faithful and generous with their time and with their finances. Now, if you're brand new with us today, if you're a guest of someone who's baptized today, this gathering was our gift to you. We're not going to ask anything more from you than that. We're just honored you're here today and praying for you throughout this week. But if you do call Real Life home, if you are on mission, if you call this your place, then I just encourage you to give and give generously with the thought of how God's going to use that, not just in the now, but to just advance these next 5 years. And here's some ways you can do that. You can go to reallifechurchkc.com. You can text any amount to 84321, or you can drop cash or checks in the giving box in the very back or with our ushers who are coming down the rows. And if you find yourself in immediate need of food, clothing, or shelter, we just invite you to reach into those buckets as they pass by, find any loose cash you see, and use that to bless your family this week. Guys, the biggest way we can get out of the status quo, to get out of the funk, to say no to the routines is by getting connected with the people of God through a life group. And those launch today. And so it is not too late to sign up. We've got a wall out there in the hub. We've got the information on the website that you can find. Sign up for a life group. This is the best way to get connected. I have never left a life group regretting that I led one or attended one. In fact, I've left each life group energized and with deeper friendships and connections than could ever be fostered on a Sunday morning alone. If you're feeling aimless and you just don't know what's next, this is a perfect first next step for you. So I want you to check out this clip, this video on life groups.
Missing out. Can't wait to hang out with you guys in those. Hey, one more time. Happy birthday, Real Life. Can you guys give yourself a round of applause? Hey, don't rush out. There's a party out there. Hang out at the photo booth. There's some refreshments. If you guys need prayer for any reason, we would love to pray with you guys. We'll have somebody up here. Can't wait to hang out with you guys either at 9:30 or 11 next week. And as always, remember, whoever finds Jesus discovers real life and purpose.